from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
First overall selection in the 2024 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are very proud to select from Boston University, Macklin Celebrini.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Word connection?
Yes, sir. Macklin Celebrini, number one overall to the San Jose Sharks. I think this was yesterday, right? The NHL draft. Yeah, he is the son of Rick Celebrini, whose title is far too long and honestly a lot more impressive than I remember reading about. He's like the director of health with the Golden State Warriors, or the vice president of health operations or something along those lines. He's very impressive.
I would say that the Golden State Warrior average player respects and fears him more than anybody in the building.
Yeah, because he's the guy who says, no, shut it down.
Right.
And you got to listen to him.
You don't care if it's Draymond or Steph or whomever.
Yeah, and he's also been one of the busier members of that staff the last couple of years because it feels like they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. And, of course, it's because they got aging players. And so Dan Devone's solution to that is to just go young. Just get guys in their 20s, line them up, and roll the dice.
Well, it's not that. That's not what I want to do. I just think that when you look at the landscape that are the Golden State Warriors, again, nobody in the history of the NBA has won squat when your best players are 37, 35, and 35, and that's not including bringing back a potential 40-year-old in one CP3. This is... And then if you want to bring back a Klay Thompson, I mean, now you're really getting ancient here. It doesn't happen. And there's a reason why when you look at the NBA playoffs, all those teams were just built with youth. Oklahoma was the number one seed. And all those players are just like you. They're younger than you. They're in their early 20s and their careers in front of them. They're not on the backside of the mountain like that of the Warriors. So when you get to a point, you have got to pull the Band-Aid. You've got to rip it. You cannot prolong the inevitable because that's only going to get you, that's only going to create what could be a 2-year heel, maybe 3 years before you're back into relevancy. If you want to go out and get a Paul George and get that ball and chain for 4 years where you're going to be looking at $60 million for a guy like that, for there's a good chance he's going to be injured along with Steph getting hurt and Draymond as well, where it's just such an, that can go from bad to worse. Now you're looking at a team that has mortgaged its future, that doesn't have any picks and or youth, but a bunch of old guys. Now you're looking at where you were with Andres Biedrins and company, and that is in the doggone lottery for 10 to 15 years. So you decide, do you want to try and get back to where you were and get into the process of a rebuild or a reset for a year or two? Or do you want to prolong this for a decade plus by going the direction of trying to solve this by going and getting an aging veteran?
I would agree with you. However, Steph Curry's still on the team.
I hear you.
And I don't think you have to bend over backwards and do literally everything that he asks, but I also feel like you do owe him something. You do owe him an opportunity to at least compete. And I don't know, Dan. Like, I'll ask you this. I mean, how ready do you feel? Well, let's just call them the core four. Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, and Trace Jackson Davis. I'm not going to include a Quentin Post yet because he's still got to prove himself. But the core four, Pajemski and TJD were starters at one point last year. Kuminga had a 30-year leap. Moses Moody is still kind of waiting, but he's shown flashes. Like, how confident are you in that young core?
I'm confident that they could be good role players. Do I see a star in one of those guys, a breakout star next year? No. I don't really know who Pajemski is going to be. I like what I saw after the first year. But you're talking about essentially a supporting cast. I think Trace Jackson Davis, in a best-case scenario, is maybe a good center. But he's not going to be an all-star. So, no, I don't see any stars. But what I'm saying is that you assess where you're at after you give these guys run. And then you go and get free agents and build accordingly while staying young and discarding the likes of a Draymond Green, a Klay Thompson. I'm sorry. I know you can't have everything in this world when it comes to Steph Curry and matching windows, and you can't do this to Steph. It's going to be a farewell tour for Steph for the next 2 years. Terrible to say, but someone's got to be honest on the airwaves here. That's what it's going to be, and that's what you're going to sell them on. And you're still going to sell out the place. It's going to be very similar to LeBron James. LeBron James, for the next 2 years, is going to play with his son, and he's going to say goodbye to everybody in the NBA. That's very similar to what it is that you're looking at with one Steph Curry. The idea of matching a window and winning a title while he's still upright, it ain't going to happen. Just look at what it is that you're dealing with. It's time to hit reset.
So LeBron James opted out earlier today. He is eligible to sign a new year, I'm assuming, with the Los Angeles Lakers. But another piece of that was he's apparently considering an offer that would allow the Lakers more financial flexibility, a potential mid-level exception, room to improve. I don't think LeBron is aiming at just a farewell tour. Because a farewell tour, to me, Dan, sounds like the last 3 years of Kobe Bryant's career, in which he won an average of like 25 games. I also don't think that's what Steph Curry wants. So, yes, a two-year farewell tour, that might end up happening, but I am doing everything in my power to not make that reality, because I don't think Chase Center is going to be packed out and sold out just to see an aging Steph on a bad team. Like, I don't think that's much of a show for these fans.
Well, let me just clarify. What it is that I said is for, discussion between you and I and here for Sports Talk Radio fodder. The Golden State Warriors certainly aren't going to say, listen, Steph, it's a farewell tour. That's what it is that we're doing here, okay? We're not going to try and win a title. No, they're going to, they will sugar this thing and not make it sound as though we're packing it in. But that, the idea of trying to get a Paul George, and nobody wants to think of this as a farewell tour, but come on. What's LeBron James going to do in his final 2 years with Los Angeles?
Well, they made the playoffs the last 2 years. Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to win a championship.
Well, that's what I mean. Okay, well, the Warriors may get to the first round of the playoffs. But you're not... The measuring stick for these two players are titles. LeBron James is... They have no draft picks. They don't have any young talent. They've got AD, who's, healthy half the year. And an old LeBron James. There's nothing in Los Angeles. What he's doing, he's going to play with his son. And he's going to say goodbye to the NBA for the next 2 years. L.A. is not a threat in the West, okay? Not with Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Dallas, and the before-mentioned young basketball teams. And the same could be said to a certain degree with the Golden State Warriors as it relates to Steph Curry. No one's going to say that publicly. That works for the Warriors, but that's what's going on. And that, for the Warriors, is the best-case scenario moving forward, in my estimation.
So I think the best-case scenario for the Warriors, like what they're trying to do, is they are trying to acquire more talent without having to give up any one of those core four members, or at least specifically Kuminga. I think he's the most prioritized of the under 25s for the Warriors. So I guess one of the reasons why I asked you how much confidence you have in those young players is because I feel like if you're willing to lean into Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, Moses Moody, and Trace Jackson Davis, well, then, how important are your immediate picks? Like, how important are they? Because one of the reasons why they weren't able to play in the first place is because there's players that are in their way. I think that's also a reason why I'd feel comfortable moving off of Wiggins, because I don't think you take that big of a step back. Like, for example, Moses Moody makes $6 million this next year. Andrew Wiggins will make $26 million. I don't think they're a $20 million, no. $20 million gap difference in players right now. You know, the player that I have my eye on and I think is most gettable at this point is Lauri Markkanen. And while Lauri Markkanen is not Paul George, he's certainly not Kevin Durant, even Jimmy Butler, he's a player that could really help Golden State. I think he would solve a lot of their spacing issues.
Perfect.
I think he's a he's a way to get younger. He's on a relatively affordable contract. And I do think that the Utah Jazz would prioritize draft capital over immediate talent. That's why I think the Warriors, if you do believe in this core four, well, then I don't think you have to give up Kuminga to get Lauri Markkanen. And I would say F some picks. I would say F picks to go get Lauri Markkanen right now.
I'm with you. If that's the case, if you're going to trade Lauri Markkanen and then have to give up Kuminga and Moody, well, then it's like kissing your sister. What are we doing here?
No, but I would be willing to move off of Moody.
Okay, you can move off of Moody. I'll give you Moody, but I'm going to get... And this isn't because he's untradeable, but moving Kuminga for Markkanen's a lateral move.
No, but I think that someone like I could trade Andrew Wiggins. Now, I think there's an $8 million gap difference in salaries. Wiggins makes more. The Warriors right now are not in a position to take on more money because of their financial situation. So I think that Wiggins for Markkanen, the Jazz throw in filler and players that they don't want. Maybe the Warriors also send, you know, Moses Moody, even potentially Pajemski, I think is on the table for me. Anybody not named Jonathan Kuminga, I would be willing to trade for Lauri Markkanen. And then I would also be willing to give up a couple picks. I mean, we just saw the New Orleans Pelicans acquire DeJounte Murray for two first rounders. What's to say the Warriors can't get Lauri Markkanen for someone outside of Wiggins or someone outside of Kuminga? Wiggins is in the deal, and two first round picks. I would try to put together a package around Wiggins and two first rounders.
I'm with you. I'm not moving Pajemski though. That's just me. And I could be back on, you know, Dandabone's Island of One. Pajemski's one of those guys, like a Caruso, like a Drew Holiday, that there's certain guys that are winners in this league. And once you recognize that early on, you don't want to move a guy like that. And you could be wrong. I think Moody is a little bit more expendable. Here's my starting lineup as you go into next year. It's Steph Curry, Moody at the two, and then your front court is Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and Draymond Green. And then it's GP2, it's Pajemski coming off the bench, and then fill in whoever it is that they get. I'm okay with that. If you want to get Markkanen, and I'm giving up Moody or I'm giving up draft picks, I'm good with that because you're still staying on course of being young and hitting reset, essentially, even with Markkanen. And you're still going to be competitive. But that gives you an idea of, okay, where this team is headed. Just how good is Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis? Just what is their roles going forward? And then you can see the semblance of a future. That's the key in all of this. When you talk about the Warriors, we have a tendency to romanticize about 2018. Meanwhile, the rest of the league, Ev, is looking straight ahead. Their best years are in front of Chet Holmgren, in front of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in front of Anthony Edwards. The Golden State Warriors are still reminiscing about what it is that they did in 2016. You have got to build something here, a foundation, where you're using the future word once again, and you're excited about tomorrow, not yesteryear.
But I can't be excited about anything after Curry. I'm sorry. I can't. Like, I think it's going to be dark.
Well, he's one of one.
That's what I'm saying, though, and I don't think you have a one-on-one player on your roster. I also don't think you can go out and acquire a one-on-one, one-of-one player, but I don't know.
No, but my point is that Steph Curry is one of what he's a generational type player. I think you'd admit, right? Like, yeah, at some point, you're going to have to get to, when it comes to Steph Curry, because he's so great that he's, you know, he's in this rarefied space that it's difficult to, you know, find players that are of his ilk. until you're going to have to do it a different way. You're not going to find a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson and a Draymond Green. You're not. That's just that magic and that lightning is not going to strike twice.
In all probability, I think I'm with you. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's your perfect scenario for this offseason? What's your perfect scenario for this week? And again, Paul George has to decide by 3 p.m. Pacific Standard whether he's going to opt into his player option. Chris Paul's guarantee date for his $30 million is tomorrow. By the way, you and I, along with Mark Grant, you're going to be on the air from 2 to 6 for that NBA free agency show that starts at 3 o'clock. So we'll be on from 2 to 6. I'm looking forward to that as well. But let's get out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. Also number for the Xfinity mobile text line. Gurus in San Jose. I don't think this is Daryl, but what's up, Guru? How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. How are you guys?
Definitely not Daryl. Good, man.
Definitely not Daryl. Hey, all right. So,
wait, are you familiar with the moniker that you are using and who Guru is?
Of course I do.
Okay. That's a bold move, young man. Bold move.
Yeah. Well, my real name is actually Guru. So.
Oh. So you are you are the Guru.
How do you spell that?
G-U-R-U.
And that's on your birth certificate.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thanks, Guru. I'm not sure Devon believes you. You're going to have to come up here with some identification and paperwork. But in the meantime, what do you got on the Dubs?
Yeah, I mean, I just heard your comment on marketing. And I tend to disagree that a package for marketing would not include Kuminga. And this is the reason why, right? First of all, I think Lauri Markkanen is the type of guy that fits on multiple different teams, right? Which means there's going to be a lot of competition for him in the off season, particularly from teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have like a treasure trove of draft picks, right? So in order to compete with that, I think that the Warriors would have to give up Kuminga. And the second part of that is Markkanen, he's on a very, very team-friendly contract. He's only making $18.5 million. And so in order for the Warriors to be able to compete with a package, I think Kuminga would have to be a part of the package, and I think multiple unprotected first-round picks would have to be a part of the package. It'll be closer to the Mikal Bridges deal than the DeJounte Murray deal. I don't think DeJounte Murray was a very valued asset in this trade season, and that's why the Pelicans were able to get him for relatively cheaper. And I do think Dyson Daniels is a very underrated aspect of that trade to go to the Hawks. I think that is a piece that the Hawks can trade at the trade deadline for a better piece. So that's my opinion. I think Markkanen is going to cost a lot this season, and I think it's going to be close to a Mikal Bridges for him.
Appreciate it, Guru. Yeah, I mean, I also think that whenever you're dealing with Danny Ainge, you generally catch the short end of the stick.
Yeah, he's going to go after you. He's probably right. Kuminga, there's no way you can get Markkanen without Kuminga.
Well, but I do think if you'd be willing to add more unprotected first-round picks, you might be able to. Because, again, I think that they value their future, speaking of the word, a lot more than their present. And maybe Kuminga also fits into that as well. I see what he's saying. I don't know. I kind of view Markkanen and DeJounte Murray in similar breaths. Like, I think Murray is...
No, Markkanen plays defense.
No, he doesn't.
I like him as a defender better than DeJounte Murray.
I mean,
he plays. I mean, he's at least giving you, you know, he's vertically, he's giving you.
He's
rebounds.
Tall. Yeah. He is tall. I do find it a bit interesting that at 7 foot, 240 pounds, he's never averaged more than half a block in his career per game. But what he does do is he shoots the hell out of it, and he can score. I just wonder how good he can be on a team that is trying to win. You know, I don't think there's ever been pressure, and even to some extent beforehand when he was in Cleveland and Chicago, he's played on a 44-win team with Cleveland that didn't make the postseason. That's the closest thing that he's gotten to it. So, I mean, I think Markkanen to me is... Right now, he should be in the Warriors' radar, because I also think that Paul George is not somebody that I would want to give up everything it sounds like it would for. But let me ask you this then. So let's take Guru's call. at face value. If it's going to take Kuminga and multiple unprotected first-round picks, who would you rather have, Lauri Markkanen or Paul George?
Lauri Markkanen.
See, I think I would rather have Paul George. I mean, if the exact same trade was on the table for either player, I think I'd rather have PG. The other part about Markkanen is, yes, he's on a team-friendly deal, but it's up at the end of next year. So next summer, you're going to have to extend him. And then you are going to have to pay him a lot of money.
Well, you're going to be paying PG-13 a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. You're going to have to pay both of them in all probability. The only difference is one is 27,
exactly.
One is 34.
And that's where I begin and end just about every conversation when it comes to the Warriors right now, is that you give me somebody who's not even at the apex of your career, I'm all in. There's a good chance. I mean, that horrific injury that Paul George sustained with Indiana, where he shattered the tibia and the fibula, and I mean, bone pierced the skin. It was like Alex Smith. That was, that was life threatening. God bless that he's been able to battle back. There's just a lot of wear and tear on that man. And prior to last year, I know he played 74 games, but that's, to me, is the outlier. Prior to that, there was 4 years where he didn't even come close to 60 games, and he was off injured. And at 34 years of age, again, you're paying for somebody of what it is that he did in his resume. Not what's in front of him, but rather what's behind him, clearly. And that's just too much money. And look, it's all about fit, Ev, right? Klay Thompson this is not a reflection on Klay Thompson, the basketball player. It's about fit. I think he fits in Orlando. Orlando's young. He can be the elder statesman. He's not a leader, but he knows where the body's alight. He can tell you, where the minds are. He can tell you how to get through certain situations, or if you get to the playoffs, he's a good guy to...
He can guide you through a minefield, is that what you just
said?
Well,
I'm just saying.
I like the analogy.
He knows, he's been around the corner, and that's good for a young basketball team and a team that can't shoot it. There's nobody on the perimeter that shoots the basketball, including Banchero. And they're young stars. So that's a good fit for Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson would do well there. Klay Thompson would do well in Philadelphia. So would Paul George. They are not a good fit with the Golden State Warriors. And the reason being is that, again, he's going to be 35 years old. Steph's 37. And you're looking at Draymond, who's going to be in his mid-30s. Not to mention, if you bring him back, Chris Paul. That's just, that doesn't work. So it's not an indictment on Klay, the basketball player. It's more of how the Warriors are currently constructed, how that doesn't make sense.
Well, the 415 and the Xfinity mobile text line, I think, is with you. If you're going to give up Kuminga, get someone under 28. Don't mortgage the entire future. And I think Lauri Markkanen would certainly fit that bill. But New Jersey, Ken, you had something right before...
Yeah, I was just going to ask, just to push you a little bit on Lauri Markkanen, because you said you would take Paul George over Lauri. And,
yes.
Just looking at it, do you think that Lauri Markkanen has reached his peak when it comes to, like, his, utmost potential or, his skill set? Because, looking at his numbers, yeah, he doesn't have the blocks, but he doesn't turn the ball over as much. He rebounds more than Paul George. I just want to get you, kind of get a little bit more out of you when you think, like, why you would trade 7 years older Paul George over a 27-year-old Lauri Markkanen?
Well, I think Paul George to me is a bit more proven. Lauri Markkanen is a damn good player. I mean, he shoots 50% from the field, about 40% from three. Not many 7-footers do that. He should average more rebounds than Paul George if he's 7 feet tall. But I guess I'm just a little hesitant about giving up, again, the same amount of capital is what we're talking about. If I had to give up X amount of first-round picks, Jonathan Kuminga, and others, I would rather do it for Paul George because I feel like I know what I'm getting. Also, and it could be because he's in Utah and there's been no incentive there to win, he hasn't played as many games as you'd think. Like, he's never played more than 70 games in any season in his career so far. Paul George has played, I think, 73 last season. It also could be a reason that you don't think he's going to play 70 games again next year. I just believe that Paul George is more of a sure thing at this point. And if I'm trying to consider how to best equip Steph to compete, not potentially, I don't think either of these guys gets you to a title contending status, but I feel like Paul George is somebody that I could envision fitting I guess, a little bit better alongside Curry and Draymond.
The text line, how did I miss this? The 510, Dan, what did you just compare? Pods with Jrue Holiday? How? Also, what is your take on
that.
Full rebuild mode?
I would have jumped in 510.
No, I did say that there's a similarity. Look, at Jrue Holiday is one of my favorite players in the NBA, if not my favorite player. And to compare those two is asinine. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that sometimes you'll see there's the potential or the ingredient of a guy that has that sort of intangible, can do everything, smart basketball player that makes winning basketball plays. And so sometimes you have to think twice about just moving off on a young player like that. How many times has Jrue Holiday been moved? And I'm not saying and or comparing the two. Well, I guess I'm comparing the two, but I'm not saying, clearly not saying that Jrue Holiday is as good as, or Pajemski is as good as Jrue Holiday, right? No, come on, man. I wasn't drinking last night. Ev was. I'm sober right now. I'm telling you that sometimes when a young basketball player
so unnecessary
is beyond his years, you're wise to sort of hang on to someone like that because they could be potentially the next Jrue Holiday in terms of understanding the game. Or how about a Caruso? Not a Holiday, a Caruso eventually, of a guy that's just a smart basketball player. And I think Pajemski, I'm not saying he has that now. I'm just saying that there are some strong omens that potentially could be that guy, which creates a level of value and should create a level of hesitancy when we're thinking about moving some of the young players.
From the 661 on the Xfinity Mobile text line, Evan and his crew can't wait to rock a Klay Thompson Orlando Magic 11 around town. I don't know about Orlando Magic, but there is a team that I would like to see Klay on if it's not Golden State next season. I'll tell you what that team is on the other side. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. We roll on halfway home here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. We are taking your calls, 888-957-9570. What do you see that happens today? What do you see that happens this weekend? Paul George has an opt-in or opt-out at 3 p.m. Pacific. Chris Paul, they have to guarantee his $30 million. The Warriors do by the end of tomorrow. What is your perfect scenario for Golden State? We'll hear you on the other side of 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You know what would be the ultimate Klay Thompson move is if he scrubbed the Golden State Warriors and just randomly, has nothing to do with anything, but then just opened up an OnlyFans account.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Athlete alert. Athlete alert. Dan DeVone's in the house. Ken Latrell's on the ones and twos. Evan Giddings with you on Saturdays here on 95.7 The Game. Prior to free agency, opens up July 1st. And, of course, Chris Paul's big decision tomorrow. Paul George has until 3 p.m. today to figure out whether he's going to opt in. The Warriors have been linked to him. But before the break, Dan, we talked about, you know, this the teams that have been linked to Klay Thompson. Because I don't know about you. I think we're both on the same page that we don't see him back next season for the Warriors. But the reason that I don't think that he's going to be back is because I think it's just, to me, the Warriors don't necessarily see him as necessary, as a priority. But I do think that there's a team, and Chris Haynes, I think, posted this picture on social media. It was either last night or earlier today that Klay Thompson was spotted in Denver. So there are some teams that have been out there connected to Klay. Denver's one of them. Dallas is another, according to Mark Stein. Philadelphia and Orlando both have cap space, though I think Orlando has been more connected to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who opted out of his player option in Denver. I would like to see Klay Thompson in Mile High.
Well, that would
I would love to see Klay Thompson play for the Denver Nuggets.
Well, can you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, he
yes,
would,
I can.
He would be, I mean, that's a good fit for him. How many times is Michael Porter Jr. talked about, this is the perfect fit for me because I just sit here on the wings or on the angles and I just wait for Jokic to kick it to me. I just wait for Jamal Murray to draw and kick. And I just do what it is that I do. And I sit and I shoot. That's the team where you don't have to beat guys off the dribble. You don't have to be creative. You can be Klay. And you can just go hang out in the corner and Jokic will find you. And you just, all you need to do is shoot it. Now, for the Warriors, you still need a little two-way player. You still need, you know, you need a little bit more. And I still think he's still for sort of feast or famine. But if he's feeling it one night, or if he's in locked in, Denver's the perfect place. Because it's just catch and shoot. It's exactly what Porter did to his career. By the way, they were also reportedly in on the Paul George sweepstakes as well.
Yes,
and they wanted
were
to move Michael Porter. Why don't you detail that for people?
Yeah, so Michael Porter Jr., Zeke Nnaji, and there might have been another small player that was involved. But the hang-up was the draft capital. So the Nuggets made a call about Paul George, and it seems like if they wanted to give up X amount of first-round picks, they could have made it happen. But they decided that Paul George wasn't the way to go. And I think Paul George would have been a great fit in Denver, too. The thing with Klay, though, like, for example, the East Coast teams that I think he's been connected to, Orlando, I know everyone talks about how great he'd be there because they were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. I just don't know how great Klay Thompson would be around a bunch of young guys because I don't really think he's somebody who right now wants to be the mentor or the leader. I think he still wants to go somewhere and compete, whether it's as a starter or as a bench player. And Philadelphia is a market that I kind of just think would eat him alive.
I agree.
And so I don't think Philly is a good fit for him.
He'd be the new Tobias Harris.
Yeah, exactly. Dallas would be interesting. Dallas is a team that I could see. But I also don't think that he would start for that team because they're pretty much just bringing back their five from their finals run. If there's a team that he could go and start for,
who's he going to replace for Denver? He's coming off the bench in Denver.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Where'd he go?
He opted out of his player option to test free agency. I think he's going to go to Orlando.
Oh, all right. Well, if KCP's out the door, yeah. But if KCP's coming back, Klay's coming back. Oh, I get you. So,
well, it's one or the other.
Gotcha,
like, I think
gotcha.
Klay Thompson's right. A contingency plan if they can't figure out a way to keep KCP. Yeah, like, no, dude, KCP would be perfect on any team.
Oh, no,
I think he's a very good two-way player. So, but if assuming he is gone,
KCP, by the way, locked up Steph Curry last year.
Yes. Well,
Steph did not play well against Denver, and namely, it was because of KCP. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I just got a small piece of news. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski. Nothing Warriors related, but Royce O'Neal intends to sign a 4-year, $44 million contract with the Phoenix Suns. They acquired him via trade with the Nets last season.
Oh, wow. All right.
So $11 million a year for Royce O'Neal, who's I mean, I guess by the end of the season, who's in the rotation, be it process of elimination.
You want to get into some of the Warrior drafts? Speaking of bigs?
Yeah, who you hot on?
I love this QT Post. I'm telling you, Quentin Post will be in the NBA. He's one of those guys. Will
you
be
love
in the,
all these young guys, man.
He'll be in the NBA for the next 10 to 12 years.
Oh, boy.
He'll be a 15-year guy. There, if you're a stretch five in the NBA, he'll be the new Brook Lopez. He will find, there are teams.
He's also another option for the Warriors.
That is a guy that is just going to stick and may play with multiple teams before it's all said and done with. But stretch fives in the NBA, and make no mistake about it, he can shoot. Now, listen, I can't tell you a lot about this Lindy Waters III. I was like a lot of people, whether you're willing to admit this or not, I had to look him up on YouTube. I was like, who the hell is this guy? Because, you know, OKC has so many wings. He was like number 8 on their depth chart. So yeah. I didn't know anything about this dude. But I can tell you that I did watch last year, only because I'm a betting degenerate. And on a Wednesday night, I believe it was Miami and it was Boston College. And I watched that game from horn to horn.
Okay.
And I remember going, who is this kid, Quentin Post? Because he can shoot. He is so perfectly suited for the NBA game. He is a stretch five, catch and shoot, get out. You're going to have to extend on this guy. Now, he's a bit of a stiff. He does not have the athleticism. You're not going to mistake him for Giannis or Joel Embiid anytime soon. Like, he doesn't. And defensively, I know he did some, I think he was all defense last year, but he's, you know, he's not very mobile or lateral from what I saw in two games where I had to watch intently. Not that I was scouting this guy, but I was scouting my money. And and you know what it's like when you've got some skin in the game, you watch with, you know, this added sort of fervor. And I'm like, this guy saved my butt, and he could shoot. That's for real. A lot of the other stuff will improve, I'm assuming, over time. But a stretch five, and he's a legitimate 7 feet, right? That's the one thing. Trayce Jackson-Davis is a good fit for the Golden State Warriors because he's so smart. And the pick and roll, which is something that they haven't had. But it's a little bit different because typically the Warriors are looking for someone to play that stretch five, right? To be the Bielitsa, to be, you know, that's what Sarge was supposed to be last year. So it's a coveted position, so I can understand what it is that the Warriors are doing. And believe you me, I think they got their guy in QT Post.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the name because that's the first place my mind went to was, did they just draft Dario Saric? You know, from everything I'm reading about him, he could shoot the hell out of the basketball. He shot 43% last year from three-point range, averaged 18-8, you know, granted for a 500 ACC team, but still, you know, that's solid. He's 24 years old, so you would imagine he's going to be able to step in the league and be a player. He doesn't need a ton of development and grooming, but I think the idea of size, Dan, sometimes gets a bit conflated or inflated because you want a 7-footer, but you also need someone that's mobile and that's switchable and that's versatile. And there are very few of those 7-footers in the league. Nevertheless, I don't know. I think Zach Edey is going to get abused. Like, I think the fact that he's in Memphis for a team that is young and likes to run is probably like the worst place for him. Like, John Morant could beat him up the court and back like 7 times before he gets to the other end. So I want Quentin Post to be successful. I hope he is. To me, the bigger takeaway I got from the draft was they're trying to emphasize adding more shooting. And it could be because they might be replacing Clay. I also just think it's kind of, I don't know, like they're looking at the playoffs and what do teams have that are successful? They have switchable wings that can shoot the three. I think the Warriors want to play more five-out basketball next year. Maybe Quentin Post factors into that. But I'm just afraid that he's going to get eaten up on defense.
Oh, he's going to.
If he even plays.
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt. And you have to pick your spots when you play him. Just like that is Zach E., right? If a team's going five out, right, and no one's on the floor that's taller than 6'6", Zach Edey's not playing. He's not going to be in that. You know, you pick your spots when it's to your advantage. I think that for the Golden State Warriors is that they had to get taller, right? And so I don't know what they do with Kevon Looney, but the idea of having centers, three of them, to me is a good thing for the Warriors, because I'm just tired of a team where your tallest starting player on the lineup is Draymond Green at 6'6". Like, that has to end. And yeah, he is Dario Saric, but he's Dario Saric at age 25, not the Dario Saric we saw last year. And I would take Dario Saric earlier in his career, because you're just looking, he is not going to be a centerpiece. You're not going to run plays for him. But anybody can stretch and shoot and be 7 feet tall. Just be 7 feet tall. You're going to alter shots, and almost by accident, you're going to get rebounds. Right? As long as the hoop is 10 feet from the ground and the object is put a ball in that basket, seven-footers are going to have an impact on this game. So the idea of five out, yeah, I know the Warriors changed the way the game's played, but I also think that we're witnessing a transition in the sport where the big is returned. And I think that you need bodies like that of a Quentin Post, a Trayce Jackson-Davis, to match up with the likes of all the other bigs now that, once again, have re-entered in the NBA.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Saturdays on 95.7 The Game with Dan DeVoe, Evan Giddings, Ken Luttrell with you here. Let's get out to the East Bay talking about, Paul George. What's up, Gil? How are you? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. I don't understand the fascination that these radio hosts have with Paul George. He's way past his prime. He's the past 5 years, he's missed 36% of the games that the Clippers have played. Indiana won nothing when Paul George was there. Let's see, OKC won nothing when Paul George was there. And the Clippers aren't going to win anything with Paul George there. So why is it that the Golden State Warriors have to pursue, why do they even have to say that? We're going to pursue Paul George. The Golden State Warriors have to get younger and they have to get taller. They do not need a guy that's past his prime. I got to tell you something. I love Steph Curry. I love his family. I think he's the face of the Warriors. I hope they build him a big statue. But you know something? Steph Curry is past his prime, too. He's 36 years old. Let's see. If you want to sign some guy, go after a free agent that really and truly can add on to the Golden State Warriors. Go after a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein. Let's see, the Knicks can't give him more than $18 million if they can give him that much. Let's see, go after this other old guy by the name of Klay Thompson. We know what we're going to get with these guys. We don't know what we're going to get with Paul George. And that's all I have to say.
Hey, Gil, when you say those radio announcers, you're excluding one Dan DeVoe, the Kahuna, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, thanks, God. Gil. Appreciate it.
You're beautiful.
That's a walk-off. Yeah, I mean, look. I
rack that.
All right, number one. Yeah, please. Thank you, Ken. I've heard this 36% thrown out a lot about Paul George, right? You know who else has missed north of 30% of their games the last 4 years that they've actually, well, technically be more than that, but we'll say the last 4 years they've been healthy. Yeah, Jamal Murray. Yeah, he's 26.
Yeah.
Like, he's injury prone. You know who else missed a lot of games last season? Luka Doncic has missed games the last couple seasons. Players miss games now more than ever. You know who missed a lot of games last season? I don't know, Draymond Green. Like, oh, I guess that's a bad example because that was more of a suspension thing. But my point is that there are...
he was injured the year
before. Lauri Markkanen played 55 games last year. Yeah. He's in the middle of his prime. Like, there, to expect players to just all of a sudden play 70, I think is a little foolish. I mean, I think one of the reasons the Warriors could not sustain injuries or absences last year is because they didn't have the requisite depth, or they didn't have players.
Well, here's what I would say when it comes to Paul George. Okay, I'll give you the... Let's just say he plays another 74 games. What I've seen of the guy, do you still think he's a number one at age 30, soon to be 35?
Because I don't. No, but he wouldn't have to be a number one.
Well, to the caller's point, Steph is still very good, but I think that the ideal free agent that you're going to max out should be a 1A. Like, it should be Steph and whomever. To me, he's clearly not a number one on the basketball team, which is why I think Philadelphia would be an ideal place for him, because you go Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and then Paul George.
Speaking of another injury-prone player, there's Joel Embiid.
Yeah, well, the injuries aside, I don't think he's that guy. And that's the problem with a lot of this, is that when we say Paul George and we say Jimmy Butler, we immediately think of what it is they've done in the past. And ideally for the Golden State Warriors is that you want to be like that of Oklahoma, like that of Minnesota, like that of these younger teams, and be thinking about what lies ahead as opposed to what it is you did in 2019 through 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, look, Paul George is not the answer. I mean, I think we just diverted because I don't know. To me, Dan, I don't think they can afford to just stand pat. But I do think that's the way it's going.
Like, when you say you can't afford, you mean can't afford in terms of winning right now?
Yeah, like, I think if they just sit pat, they're going to be worse than a 46-win team next year. Like, I think what right now, the tea leaves that I'm reading is that there's no move out there that the Warriors are willing to go all in on. And, you know, that might be the right move. You don't want to go in on Paul George and mortgage your future, attach Kuminga, whatever. I also don't think that there's a move out there that another team is willing to kind of just meet the Warriors halfway for. So yeah. I think right now the most likely outcome is that the Warriors guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George goes back to the Clippers or some other team, not named Golden State, and Klay Thompson signs with a different team in free agency. Is that team better next season?
No, but you've just discarded nearly $75 million off your
payroll. No. Chris Paul, they're going to guarantee that money. I can almost.
Oh, so you're saying Chris Paul's coming back as a
either as a trade chip or to be on the team. Like, I think they're picking up his $30 million tomorrow.
And what's your question?
Is that team better?
No. You're not. But again, these are the moves that you have to make in order to go where it is that you're going to go for a year, which is going to be, you know, not a very good place in terms of wins and losses.
Well, but, unless you think those young players can take significant leaps.
They're going to take significant leaps. I still don't think you're going to win. You may get in to the playoffs. You may get in, you know, as a play-in.
Oh, I think next year the goal is just to get back to the postseason. I'm not setting my sights on championship.
Yeah, well, I think that you have... Again, it's so difficult because it's all conjecture because these guys have only played 1 year. Now you're going to be counting on them to play the majority of the season to find out exactly what they're like night in and night out. But you're looking to carve a path where you have a future. This is a what is it called? Carfunkel? I mean, this is ugly right now.
Simon and Garfunkel?
This is ugly when it comes to the Warriors. Right now, this is a team that and this happens. At some point, you just got to say, okay, reset. And no one wants to hear it. We want to talk about Paul George. Let's dust off Jimmy Butler. How can we get back talking about the Warriors and the championships? That ship has left the port. It's time to start anew and to find out who is the new face of the franchise? What's the new direction? Who's the new core? Now, you're not going to find a Draymond, Steph, and Clay. That's never going to happen again, at least in my lifetime. But you can still be a good team. You can still be relevant. But you now need to identify new pieces. And that's going to happen inevitably. And to me, you're better off happy if it takes place sooner rather than later. You do not want to be hamstrung with a max deal of a 38-year-old Paul George 5 years from now making $60 million, and you've mortgaged all your young players and you're handicapped because you're hard capped and you can't go out and get anybody. That, to me, is a recipe for disaster.
Well, they can't get anybody anyways because of how much money they have tied up. I mean, even if they move off of Chris Paul, they can't go out and acquire a free agent. So the other part of this, too, I think it sounds good to say they need to start looking towards, you know, the next face of the franchise or identifying the future generation of. I don't see it. Like, I don't see it on this roster right now. I hope Kuminga can become a superstar, but I don't see it right now. I find it hard to believe that.
When'd you jump off of Kuminga's wagon?
Well, I was driving it most of the season, it felt like. I just don't think that right now he's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
Right now.
I mean, Well, right now he seems like he could be. My hope for Kuminga next year is that he could become a 20-point-per-game scorer consistently.
I agree with you, but I hope part of that 20 points is well.
I mean, ideally, he becomes a better defender, better passer, better rebounder. But I think.
Well, the one thing you're leaving out is he's got to be a better shooter.
Yeah,
from three-point territory.
I think that's part of scoring more.
Yeah, well, he scores, but he does a lot of it, you know, just running over dudes or getting past guys or finishing on breaks, and he'll still give you 20 points a game. He can go up to 25, 30 points a game if he can shoot that three. Can you imagine having to go out and extend on Kuminga? He'll blow by you in a heartbeat. He's that guy, but he's got to be able to prove that he can shoot that thing. To me, if Kuminga becomes, and they say he's working on shooting, if he becomes a three-point threat, which he's far, far from being right now, that alters the landscape when you think about assessing that guy.
Yeah, but I don't want to assess the next face of the franchise when I still have the face of the franchise. Like, I don't think Curry is a top five player anymore.
Yeah.
But he's still really good. And I guess I just don't believe that the Warriors are going to let him wilt, shout out Chamberlain, for the next couple of years of his deal, and then just hope that he re-ups and comes back and just tries to age gracefully. Like, that doesn't sound like much of a plan.
It's not a plan by design, but it is an alternative for the Warriors. And again, they're never going to say this publicly, but giving him an opportunity for the last 2 years to play in front of, you know, the fans here for the Warriors, and just to go out with everybody saying thank you, is probably what you're looking at. I don't know when you look at this current roster and you think about what it is that they potentially could do through free agency, through trades. Somebody said this so succinctly early on in the chat line, they're effed. And in a lot of ways, they are. If you're thinking about trying to be that team again and return to 2 or 3 years ago, there's just no path. So what do you do instead of trying to put that proverbial square peg into a round hole and pound your head against the wall, like, what are we going to do? What you do is you hit reset. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, because you'll be back in 2 years.
I don't think you will. Like, when you say reset or rebuild.
No, you won't if you sign Paul George, or you won't if you get Jimmy. If you tie yourself to a long max deal, you won't. But you give yourself an opportunity, more of an opportunity to do it in a year or two, as opposed to signing a Paul George, and now you're screwed for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think an investment like that would screw you for 20 years.
Well, I was embellishing.
Well, yeah, no, I know. But, like, I don't think Paul George is realistic. What I guess I'm perplexed about is that the Warriors have taken this stance like they are going big fish hunting. Like, they want to acquire a big-name player, and then all of their actions point in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And that's why, and I want to get into this on the other side, I also want to get into a little bit of, I don't know, speaking of standstills, the San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk apparently have nothing going on, and Ayuk actually spoke about it recently. So I do want to get into that a little bit. And also, I mean, if you want, Dan, we can talk about Brett Wisely some more. But on the other side, I do want to examine kind of the, I don't know, conflicting messages that we're getting from the Warriors, because I have a really hard time reading them, and I think there's a reason why. That's Dan DeVone, Evan Giddings with you. We'll return after this on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.